What's good, everybody, man? Welcome to another episode of the Back Row Skins Show. So I have a special guest for you guys tonight. He'll be joining us shortly. But this is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. If you're new to the channel, please like, please subscribe, and please share. The channel is growing. I pump out a lot of Washington football content into this platform. So I appreciate everybody who comes on and who always supports. Shout out to Phil. He's been in here for 5 minutes. I was 5 minutes late. I do apologize, Mr. Phil Davis. We got my boy Big Oso in the building, man. What's good, man? Appreciate you joining the stream, man. Hi, Phil. Then we got my guy, Timeout Sports, man. Appreciate your presence, man. We're going to have a good time tonight, man, talking Washington football. We're going to talk about the previous game. We're going to talk about our biggest takeaways from that game. You know, we're going to talk about the next game. We're going to talk about Kevin Harmon. We're going to talk about Dyami Brown. We're going to talk about Lamar Miller. So we have a lot of topics to talk about. And also, we're going to get to some of the questions that the fans want to talk about. Got a lot of questions lined up on Twitter. So for this very few, for these first 10 minutes, it's pretty much a free-for-all. Feel free to chime in until we get the show on and popping. Who are some of the players that you guys are excited for this season? I know for me, you got Dyami Brown. I think this guy is going to be a major, major stud. Sometimes you look at guys and you see what guys can do. He just seems like a veteran. He seems like he gets it. You know what I'm saying? Phil Davis with the first question. He says, why is Akpi still on the team? Now, for this question, we're going to address Akpi, but I'm waiting for Akpi's dad to join the stream. Pretty soon, Akpi's father is going to be joining the stream, and then we can take this question about Troy Akpi. So I'm going to save that for Akpi's dad when he joins the stream. Oh, man, that's too funny. Back to Dyami Brown, man. He threw me off. Big Oso says, what are your thoughts on the whole making the brand? I'm not really a fan of making the brand process. I haven't seen a single episode. I really don't care. It's a lot of fluff. making a band is just something to kind of get the fans engaged, and I get it, but I'm not a fan of making the band. I really don't care what's going on, but they are narrowing it down. They says, you know, they say it's down to three teams. We'll see what the three teams are. I know a lot of the fan base loves the Red Wolves name. But, yeah, in terms of making a band, making the brand, I haven't really been paying attention. I really don't really care too much for the business side of things. I pretty much focus on the football side. But that's a great question, though, actually. Next question or next comment. Timeout Sports says Patterson might be a beast. He really might. I think that Patterson has all the tools. We looked at him coming in and we said, man, this guy is small. He's like on that smallish side. But the guy seems like he might be able to do something. I like Patterson a lot. I'm cheering for the kid. Phil Davis comments, all that matters are the results on the field. Absolutely. And that's kind of why I really don't too much care for what the name is going to be. Because the way that I see things is, at the end of the day, I'm going to support whatever name that we get. You guys know I got to have my colors. It's got to be burgundy and gold. You know, but it just is what it is. My guest is having difficulties coming in. All right. Let me try to get him a better link. But, but yeah, man, it's all about the product on the field. Product on the field is everything. That's pretty much what I'm looking at. Big Oso says, Patterson might be small, but I think he's built like a tank. He is built like a tank. He has a lot of promise. I'm really loving what I'm getting out of Patterson. For real, for real. Trying to get my guest in, guys, so you guys bear with me. It's just funny the process that StreamYard uses every single time. Sometimes it works rather quickly, and sometimes it don't. Let's see. But yeah, I am super excited about Patterson. I like his upside. Like he reminds me of like a Maurice Jones-Drew type build. He reminds me of a Ray Rice type build. I'm not saying he's going to be Ray Rice or Maurice Jones-Drew, but that's just the kind of build. He's small. He's built like a tank, like Big Oso says. And he has a lot of potential. And we saw him run through the middle that last preseason game. So, like I said, I definitely love what he brings to the table. Phil Davis comments. Let's see what Phil Davis says. He says, I hope that Patterson takes over the return duties. Bye-bye, Steven Sims. I feel that. If Patterson can give us something in the kickoff return game, I don't know if he's going to do punt returns for us. He might. I mean, he has that Darren Sproles type of feel, too. So we saw him catching the ball very, very well. So if he can give us some snaps in the punt return game, that'd be awesome. I definitely see Patterson as our kickoff returner this season. Most definitely. The Big also says, right, exactly. Yeah, I would love to see Patterson win that kickoff return job and then take it a whole step further with, you know, returning punts. And look, if he can become that guy, that change of pace guy that can receive the ball and do some different things, then, look, I would definitely love what we have in Patterson. If you guys are entering the stream and if you're new, please like, please subscribe, and please share. Appreciate the love that you guys are giving me out there. Let me go ahead and get into some of the questions that I received on Twitter. And it was some pretty good ones. One of the questions was, how do I assess Dayami Brown? Let's just go ahead and just start with Dayami Brown. I think that Dayami Brown, like I said, he has a chance to be a really good receiver. And if you look at Curtis Samuel and you see Curtis Samuel, he's been hurt back and forth, right? So we don't even know what to expect out of Curtis Samuel. Okay. So I believe that Curtis Samuel is going to have a pretty big season, but at the same time, Dayami Brown gives us that, that security, you know, he can be something. But guys, I'm going to pause on that because the man of the hour is here. This is Troy Akpey's father. Okay. I'm just kidding. But somebody did ask a question about Troy Akpey, and I was teasing.
Already?
I was saying already. And you know who it was? Wow. It was Phil. I told him that Troy Akpey's dad is coming to the show to talk about his son. I'm just kidding. But guys, this is Tony Andrews. He is the man of the hour. This guy right here started a huge Facebook group called the Redskins Hub. It is one of the largest, if not the largest, fastest growing Redskins group out on Facebook. He has the Capology. He has the Fantasy Click, NFL News, Bulletins. I mean, he has all these great things going on. So you guys definitely want to hook up with Tony on Facebook and in the various groups that he runs. So Mr. Tony, man, how you doing, man?
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It's my pleasure to be here. It's my second time. The first time, I thought we had a great time. So absolutely. I just really appreciate the opportunity to come on with you.
Absolutely. And appreciate you guys allowing me to post in the group and appreciate you guys helping me to grow my brand on your group. I just want to say thank you. It really means a lot to me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You do a great job.
Thank you. So, man, we were talking about Dayami Brown before you came in, but I want to pause on Dayami Brown. We're going to get back to that. Let's circle back on Troy Akpey. The first question in the chat was saying, why is Akpey still on the team? I'm going to let you start, and then I'll finish. Talk to me about Troy Akpey.
So you asked me the question that I brought a little prop here that makes me – makes me drink. This is old school. This is, you know. So Apke, why is he still on the team? I don't know. It makes me question a lot of everything that I've ever seen in all the years of watching football. Mm-hmm. You watch this guy since day one. He's like a matador out there with the cape, letting people go by him, and he literally grabs and whiffs at air. So mm-hmm. he must be a hell of a teammate. That's the only thing I can think of, is he must be a hell of a teammate. You know, he has versatility by playing lots of different special teams.
Right.
Acknowledge he's on the field, but is he actually contributing? And everything I see is no. Now, he did have a tackle. He did have a special teams tackle last week. It was the first one I've seen, really. So I can't tell you why. I think he needs to go. I need to go to Vegas, but he needs to go. That's all I'm going to say about that. But, you know, you start to look at that CB group.
Mm-hmm.
Who's at the bottom of that CB group that makes it instead of Apke? And that's when you start looking at McTyre. I think he's going to be the guy that replaces him and is on the squad.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Troy Apke. The team loves his speed. Doesn't mean that he's the best player. Doesn't mean that he's a good player. But they love his speed. Speed is something that you can't teach. But as you've shown me, he takes bad and terrible angles. I mean, you show me tape after tape after tape. So I'm starting to believe that, obviously, he's not a good player, but they love his speed. And you saw that Greg Stroman was released.
Yep.
And that was a guy that I felt that he was going to make the team, or be in a bubble, be around that sixth or seventh corner, you know, somebody fighting to make that spot. So with Greg Stroman leaving, that opens up a door for Troy Apke to make the team. Whether you like him or not, it's just crazy to me, because Troy Apke could possibly end up as the sixth corner on the team, when we all know that there's some better options out there. But what do you think is really going on with how they're assessing the team? Because I thought that Greg Stroman was okay. Maybe he was hurt. I don't know. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Stroman, you know, he had issues. He had issues 2 years ago. He had issues. He couldn't. He had issues on the goal. I couldn't remember the play. It was everybody was pointing around. The next day they went ahead and cut him. So yeah. He's been off and he's been back. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And for him to leave, I look at the current setup. You got Moreland, I think, is pretty solid, right?
Right.
You got St. Juice. He's solid. He's mm-hmm. he's brand new. So then you start taking a look at who's going to play that special teams and also, you know, be that kind of emergency corner, and it's the regurgitation of position flex.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of people that could drop down to the slot and play CB, like a Curl. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, so I'm looking at really McTyre, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about Force, because they just drafted him. Can these That's guys true. Play specials? Can they
right.
play specials well? And both had 8 snaps last week on specials, but Apke had 11. So Apke okay. must be on another team, and they're on. Mm-hmm. So who can? I'm going to be looking for the Bengals to see who can raise their game on specials, especially there, because I don't think Everett's going to make it. I think he's probably out, and I think right. they're looking for these young guys to take a dual role, play some specials, and then also, you know, CB, position
right.
flex, strong safety, Buffalo nickel, a whole bit.
Right. Hey, Phil makes a great point. He says, we don't have 6 NFL corners, and that could possibly be true. How many teams in the NFL actually have 6 NFL corners? Corners is a premium position that's tough to get. Sometimes you just can't find enough valuable corners. You can't even pay enough valuable corners. So I agree with that statement. We got my boy Chef Boogie Dre. This is the dopest Washington football chef in town. So if you guys are ever at a game, look for Chef Boogie Dre. He's off the chain. He's been on the show a few times, and really, really good guy. But let's talk about Dayami Brown. He's just been a name that I've been studying this guy. Dayami Brown has the potential to be a future star in this NFL. I understand it's super early. We've only seen one preseason game. We've seen flashes in practice. We've seen flashes in training camp. Uh-huh. There have been players who have come in and shown us flashes. But to me, he has a it factor about him. He has something special. Like, he has this swag, this vibe about him. He's confident. You know what I'm saying? He's more than just a burner. The guy can run some routes. And those are some of the things that I look at. When you have a new up-and-coming wide receiver, I kind of look at the route running and the other little things that the receiver does outside of just, you know, going deep or doing this or doing that. Talk to me a little bit about Dayami Brown.
Well, I want to see snaps. I want to see him on the field. I want to see him run some routes. I want to see him run the route tree more than just the go or whatever he was doing, you know, in college.
Right.
Catch the easy ones, catch the hard, you know, but we're not going to be throwing it way downfield and
right.
out to Diami. If we do, great. But why right. do it now anyways? I mean, we remember what we did, and it was with McLaurin. When he right. started, did he even play in preseason, McLaurin? I think we just unleashed him. I think we right. unleashed him, at, you know, on the Eagles, and then he was just, you know.
Let me tell you what happened. Here's what happened with Terry McLaurin. I remember that year I was in a super deep fantasy league that had 20 teams. So when you're drafting with 20 teams, you're just picking up whoever. So I went and got all my running backs. So when it came to wide receivers, I said, oh, I know Terry McLaurin. He plays for Washington football. So I grabbed Terry. I grabbed Paul Richardson, and I grabbed one other Washington guy. Nobody wanted Washington players because they're terrible, right? And nobody really knew who Terry was. Let me tell you this. Can you believe that Terry ended up being one of the better wide receivers that year and helped me win this league? The league was winner take all. And it was a nice little chunk of change for 20 players. And Terry McLaurin helped me win this league. So when I got all my positions, I took my wide receivers last. I took whatever that was left, and it was Terry. Remember, Paul Richardson was supposed to be the guy. Doxson was supposed to be the guy. So those guys were featured in the preseason, and then guess what? Those guys don't make the team or injury, and this guy comes out and shows us who he really is versus the Eagles. That's kind of what happened with Terry McLaurin. It was like a lot of us was excited about Kevin Harmon, and a lot of us wasn't. For me, let me just speak for me. I was more excited about Kelvin Harmon because when you look at the college tapes, Harmon was doing his thing. Obviously, he was a little bit slower, but he was making some crazy catches. Good school. And we were thinking, okay, Harmon has a third-round grade, and he was drafted in the sixth round. So a lot of us didn't even really too much know about these rookies. But Terry comes in, catches that bomb, and we're like, whoa. I think we got something here. You know what I'm saying? So talk to me a little bit about Terry's first game and what it meant for you and what you saw just out of that little small sample size.
Terry's the way he plays the game and the way he led, you know, from the start, he was all effort and he is all effort. Now he's a captain and now he's a leader on this team.
Right.
And fit the one thing about Terry and about fantasy, wherever he's supposed to go, I'd draft him over that. He's going to get some targets.
Yep.
What Fitz like to do, I looked at a stat and it was something like 187 or something crazy in 2015, 187 targets for Brandon Marshall with Fitzpatrick throwing to him. So last time he played 16 games, he just kept feeding the number one receiver. And I just got to believe it's going to be one of those types of years for Terry. And after seeing the way that they just even hooked up on that first play, I think in the preseason game.
That was beautiful.
He's looking downfield. I really like Fitz.
Fitz sees the field. And I know when we got Fitz, a lot of people were not excited about Fitz. But what Fitz is he's a seasoned NFL veteran that understands the game, regardless of what he's done in his career, regardless of the interceptions that we've seen and all this and this and that. One thing we can say about Fitz is Fitz will see the field and make a decision quickly. Yeah. Not only does he make a decision quickly, whether it's a good decision, bad decision, he's confident. And that's what you need out of your leader. That's what you need out of your quarterback.
The three-step reads that he knows where to go with the ball. I've been watching a lot of games on DVR. I've been watching, Fields. I watched him play. I watched, some of the other young kids play. I watched Haskins play. You watch what Fitzpatrick's able to do, and Heinicke as well. They're able to look and make those reads that these young kids just can't. Everybody else is just dumping passes off. It's preseason,
right?
And I get it. But when you see that he has that ability right away to make those connections, he's got a second level that the kids don't have yet, and we're going to see that this year that we didn't see last year. And it's not like Smith. Smith is just ultra conservative. This guy's going to look straight to that second and third level. So I look forward to that. And that's going to mean opportunities for Brown, for bringing also McLaurin, of course, Samuel.
So how many games do you think we win this year with Fitz as the quarterback?
You know, the over-under is 8.5. I would bet the over. I like what I see all over the field. I love the defense. It's one of those pictures where somebody was making a comment. It was funny in the group. It was a guy whispering to his girlfriend saying, you know, if we can just get average quarterback play out of Fitzpatrick, we were 32nd right. QBR last year. With this defense, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Well, I think we're going to do better. I think we're going to do better. So I'd say 9, 9.5, 10, 9, 10.
Right. Yeah, 9 and 10 is about my number.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9 and 10 seems to be my number. I see us going 10 and 7 this season, and that's just with better quarterback play. A lot of guys loved Alex Smith. Thanks for what he did here. I wasn't a big fan of Alex Smith. It was a lot of checkdowns, lots of not going down the field, a lot of conservativeness, a lot of being safe. You know, sometimes you need a quarterback that can go out there and get it done. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we have in Fitz. You can say whatever you want to say about his age. The guy is smart. He's smart. He understands. When you bounce around like this and when you've lasted in the NFL this long, that means he's doing something right. Even if he's backup level, borderline, starter material, whatever you want to say, the guy is smart. And like you said, he sees the field and he's able to read the field. And that's something that we haven't had in a while.
You know who would love Alex Smith?
Who?
George Allen. Somebody who would love to 3 yards, clouds of dust, throw 3 yards, and that's it. That's it.
Right.
He was like an old school Billy Kilmer, Alex Smith type that are just going to let the defense win it for you, and let the other guy make a mistake. That's mm-hmm. what that's what it was all about. And God bless him. We moved on. We're gonna have some excitement now in the passing game. And I really like what I see with Fitzpatrick. I like him as a person. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good locker room guy. Just as good, if not better, than where Alex.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to dive into some of these questions from Twitter. Disco, my guy, at Disco5 on Twitter says, which position would you like to see the team try to bluster through the waiver pickup? Is there a player or two that you think that we can pick up through waivers that can come on the team and make an impact? Or whether it's depth, whether it's, special teams. So who are some of the guys that you see us possibly pursuing via waiver pickup?
See, my knowledge isn't that deep on the waiver lines, but mm-hmm. I'll give you a position, and it brings up a whole nother can of worms.
Give me a position.
Kicker.
Hey, that's a good one.
Look, there's a Cheeseman issue going on there, right?
Yeah.
We the guys, different velocity or whatever, but you guys have been at it for 4 months already, and Hopkins has had issues in the past. He finished strong last year, but I give him through the whole preseason, and then I'd see who ends up getting cut and bringing a kid in, because it's not going to make it's not a good idea just to bring in the competition for the sake of bringing in the competition. When you try to figure out the snap, the velocity, you're getting used mm-hmm. to it. All right. You're a 7-year veteran. Get used to it. But that season starts, and this isn't straight. We'll just cut him and bring somebody else in.
Hey, I'm with it. Like after that game, I said to myself, we need to go ahead and sign two kickers to come in and push this guy, because Hopkins just feels like he's untouchable. He feels like, the long snapper, the punter, and these guys work together during this process to make this thing work. And he's been the glue, so to speak, bad or not. He's brought consistency. I mean, with Sundberg leaving, those three guys work together well. Okay, like there was a chemistry there, even when Hopkins was missing. So he has the job. He feels like he's untouchable. But I'm telling you, if you bring some of these undrafted rookies that are hungry to make it to the NFL, they're going to come in here and they're going to push this guy. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, yeah, we definitely need to go and find a kicker or two to bring him here. Phil says the kid from Norden from New England will be cut. Hey, go and scoop him. He says him and Cheeseman were together at Michigan.
How about the Ravens kicker? I think they got a competition going on there, and the guys did pretty well as well.
Right. And that's one of the best kickers.
look, this, we know what we have in Hopkins.
Right.
We know what we have. He hits the ball high, he hits the ball far, and he misses some clutch kicks. Mm-hmm. If it's time to make a change because he can't adjust to a new snapper, let a new kid adjust to a new snapper. And if he played with them before, geez, that's almost tailor made. So you never know. We'll see how it goes. I give him the preseason to figure it out, though.
I don't absolutely.
You know, we don't want this thing where, you know, it's a Max Zendejas type of situation we had way back in the 80s. You're just bringing in another guy every week because you don't know who can kick for you.
Exactly, so, man. Shout out to Meast ST21, Mr. Fax. Appreciate you hopping on the stream. Shout out to my guy, Asan Moore, for hopping on the stream. I appreciate you, man. My day's going great. We're just excited to be talking Washington football. Phil Davis says Tucker's not getting cut. We know he's not getting cut. But guess what? They brought in competition. I don't even know who the other guy is, but guess
what?
That's
the guy I'm talking about. I heard somebody talking about the guy who was doing pretty well against.
Yeah. And you know, when you're the best at your position, there's nothing wrong with bringing a sparring partner. Somebody just, you know, come in there and just have camaraderie with and compete with to get better. Some of the best quarterbacks, some of the best running backs, they bring in competition, not because the competition might win, but guess what? It brings the best out of everybody. Competition breeds greatness. So everybody needs to be pushed. You've seen coach say competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So why not have one at kicker?
My only question is it Cheeseman? Is there a big portion of this, you know, the whole Cheeseman factor? And so it doesn't matter. If he misses another kick this week, you're going to see.
Right. He's out of there. Yeah. He's if he misses one more kick, he's out of there.
You're not going to be able to hold away. People are going to be lining up to try out.
Right. So everybody's talking about this Norden guy. Hopefully if he gets cut, hey, I don't mind scooping this guy. Everybody's saying he's straight fire. So I'm excited for that. He says, yes, sir. Dope stream as usual. Hey, appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. It says Ron speaks on competition for Hopkins. There's none. I don't understand. We definitely have to bring in this Pats kicker Norden. I'm all in. You guys have me hype right now about this kicker that I didn't even pay attention to. I was just more so looking at little things within the game. Also, somebody is asking, so with that question about a waiver pickup or who we can pick up, I saw Phil in the comments section say linebacker. The next question leading up to that says, you know, they like the young guns that we have at linebacker, okay? But the question is, can we upgrade that position? KJ Wright is still available. KJ Wright is still available, but I just, at this point, in the offseason, it doesn't seem like we're going to add anything else in the linebacker position.
I think we're going to go with what we got, but, you know, who knows with injuries and what happens. So what I want to see is, you know, Davis continue to progress here, you know, and play some more at that middle linebacker spot. But then they got these guys, Norris, Mayo, back there. They're playing a lot. I'm looking at special team snaps. That's my latest thing. And they got a lot of special team snaps, and so that means that they're playing on a lot of different teams. They're entrenched in the group.
Right.
Who's going to be left out? I don't know, but there's people out there. We'll see where we are, but I think they like our team at the head linebacker right now.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they like Norris a lot, and they like the other guy Mayo, and they're building some chemistry with each other. I'm looking at when these guys leave the facility to go in for practice. There's something special going on with that linebacker group. Hopefully it translates on the field, but they're getting to being a closely tight-knit group. So I'm really watching that closely. Hopefully, like I said, it translates on the field. Linebacker position is something that kind of worries me. But at the end of the day, I know we're going to play.
I like Holcomb. I know we know Bostic can play. He's not going to be the fastest guy in the field, but he's not exactly the worst liability in trying to cover somebody. There's times he has to pass.
I'd rather have him playing the Sam. I don't want him playing the middle or the wheel. That's just me. I just rather him play closer to the line of scrimmage. And there's times when Bostic takes some bad angles, he will run head first, and then the player has gone. And then that recovery speed is not what you want. But if you have him closer to the line of scrimmage, it just bodes well for him than having him in space. I don't want to see him in space. That's just me. But that's he is decent depth. He is decent depth. I mean, we can use him if we need him in different areas, but we're going to play a lot of safeties than linebackers. You're going to see more safeties on the field. So you might see three safeties on the field opposed to seeing three linebackers on the field. So that's something to definitely watch out for.
I think you're looking at us being in with that Buffalo nickel, having defensive backs sometimes, the position flex and some of these safeties coming down and playing corner. And then these corners coming out and maybe filling back out at safety. You could be seeing the big guys. Let's say we start pressing.
Right.
Let's say WJ3 and a BSJ there are out on the outside, right, pressing up. Okay, now you can bring somebody like Fuller and bring him back, or McCain down in the slot. So there's all different things that you can do there. And if you got somebody like Jamin Davis kind of in the middle doing his thing, now you got speed at that position too, and now you can move them all over the place. So I'm looking forward to it. I know that JDR is looking forward to it, and we just gotta let this play out. Let these guys gel a little bit.
Right. So the next question I'm going to skip. We already talked about free agents that are available and what the team does. I don't think the team makes any more major moves. They're going to rock with who they have, because learning a whole new system, the only way we bring in another free agent is if injuries happen. With the guys that have been with us training camp and mini camps and all this, we got all we got now. There's no time to bring in somebody new to learn a new position. Kicker, yes, but I don't really see us making any major moves. This is a great question. What does the defensive end / edge depth do for you? Does that scare you? That edge position, do you believe in the seventh round gems that we've drafted the last 2 years with Smith Williams and rest of them, Shaka Tony?
Yeah, I'm fine with them. I guess I learned about a guy just before I came on the call here that Phil was telling me about,
Tuhill, so
he played for us late last year and was in the kind of the goal line. And so you look at that and you say, all right, well, can that guy squeeze on, and how many are you going to actually keep and just let him compete and figure it out? Cause of course you got the best two in the league almost, and as a pair. So who are you going to bring in? What's that rotation? There is no Kerrigan, so what's your replacement is basically the question.
Right. Hassan asked a question or made a comment. He goes, I'm confused why Mayo is our third best middle linebacker, like on the depth chart. He's last. He goes, I know he's not good in coverage, but he is in the run game where he plays his best football. Now, Hassan, the thing with the depth chart right now is unofficial. They're trying different things. It's more so you just put stuff out there. We're not really going to know the depth chart until we figure out who's on the 53, and then they really make their assessment. So I really don't even look at who's on a depth chart. I kind of more so look at who's getting snaps right now, who's in there with the first teams, who's making plays. Sometimes you're making plays on the second and third teams, but then the coaches, they see something, and then they elevate you. So don't too much worry about that depth chart right now. How about you, Tony?
Yeah, no. His special team snaps is what gets my attention. He had something like 15, and there's he's on every single team. So he was brought in. We like him, along with this kid Norris. We're letting him play a lot of specials, whether they're third, second, or anything else. Right now, we got to figure out about Davis. Can he play the middle? Right.
Right.
And then the rest of them, they're all getting snaps. So let's go preseason.
And speaking of, can he play the middle? Did you get a good assessment of Jamin Davis the last preseason game? I didn't hone in on Jamin Davis at all, so I didn't focus on him.
I looked at him. He looked a little lost. He was running around. I want to see against the Bengals. I want to see him kind of pull himself together more into that defense and know what
right
and show himself a little bit. But I think he needs the snaps.
And you know, when you're playing that middle linebacking position, it's not an easy position because you got to call plays. You got to be the quarterback of that defense. You got to be in control and you got to take command of that position. So a lot of times, right, you're a rookie. You're new. It's your first game. So I'm not making excuses for the kid, but it's like, okay, first game, he's looking around. He's getting the feel of his team. It's the first time that you're actually getting to hit. Yeah, you get to hit and practice sometimes, but it's like whatever. You know what I'm saying? This is the real deal. This is the closest thing that you're going to get to an NFL game. So I'm definitely going to be looking at him come Friday because a lot of guys were asking me my assessment for Jamin Davis, and I didn't really watch the game live. I caught bits and parts. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting off work. Caught the first quarter. I caught the fourth quarter, and I missed all the good stuff that happened in between. So I really couldn't just hone in on different guys, but I'm definitely going to be watching him on Friday to see how he reacts.
He's my defensive key that I'm going to be looking at against the Bengals, just to see how comfortable he is, what position he's playing. Is he the one calling the plays? Is he there besides Bostic? Is he playing weak or not? Or, you know, what is going on with him and how are they handling his development? That's interesting to me.
Absolutely. And as we look at more so of what happened the last game, talk to me about Patterson. I talked about Patterson at the beginning of the show, but I want to get your thoughts on Patterson. This kid can possibly be something. This kid is doing so much at this young age that, hey, they got rid of Lamar Miller. They said, Lamar Miller, deuces. You was here last year as security, as insurance, and you did nothing. They've seen him and they know what they have in Lamar Miller. So now it boils down to, is the team keeping four running backs? Is the team keeping three? Do you think that Patterson makes a team? Talk to me about how the team's going to use Patterson and your assessment from the last game.
He has a quick burst. Okay. He puts his foot in the ground and he darts upfield. I love the way he runs the ball. He makes people miss. You could see it. He's got that little – so I think he, just given time, will be a force. I like his chances of making the team, okay? I see him as the fourth. I see us keeping four. But this week, what I've heard is that they're gonna put him on some specials. Okay. He could end up being a kickoff returner or be the first up on the kickoff return. Let's see what he can do there, because if we could get him as doing our kickoff returns, why are we keeping a Danny Johnson around who's never going to play at CB anyways? It's a wasted spot. So I'm looking at Carter. I'm punt return, but why can't he be doing kickoff return? What's so special about the kickoff return? 99% of them are in the end zone anyways, and we're taking it out the 25. So I'm not sure why that Danny Johnson, we need to have a special kick returner who really wasn't that anything crazy special in my but if you could get somebody like Patterson or Carter or a combination of those two, that gives me more added incentive for keeping four running backs, keeping seven wideouts.
Right,
and maybe taking a shot at somebody else that can really fill in on the special team side that you really like, maybe an extra DB or something of the sort. Right,
and the beauty about this season is I think that we're gonna be able to protect players like we were able to do last year. I think some of the same rules apply, so that's the beauty of it. You can go ahead and put some guys on the practice squad, and then you can protect up to a certain amount of players every single week. So you already know that quarterback might be something that we protect, even though we have three semi-healthy ones.
Yeah.
So that's definitely what I'm looking at. So if you say a guy like Danny Johnson is gone, right, potentially, that means that Troy Akpi is a lock.
No, stop.
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you because
we go from 3 to 4 on the. How many running backs did we keep on the roster last year? I can't remember.
I think we had three. Yeah, we kept three. We kept J.D. McKissic. We kept Peyton Barber, and of course Antonio Brown. Antonio Gibson, and which was a mistake. I think we needed that fourth running back because when Gibson got hurt, we were in trouble. So I think this year we keep four.
I think you had a lot of times when you had some inactives, and then maybe like a Lamar Miller inactive there. All right.
Yeah.
So if you have that fourth running back with an actual job,
mm-hmm. that's true.
Like Patterson,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't have a Danny Johnson who is always active, right? You have another person on the 53 that you can insert, pull out, and do whatever you want with them. So I'm looking to see. First, the question was, what do you think of Patterson? I love him running the ball. Can we talk about what that catch he made with Heinicke in the corner on the 1 yard line? Phenomenal.
Right.
Just a great adjustment by him. So he's got ball skills or hands, and he can run, and maybe he can play some special. So I'm really looking to see him do some of that and round it out and give us a reason to jostle the roster a little bit.
Right. Well, let me ask you this question. Hassan Moore brings up a great point. Do we carry four running backs? Do we carry four tight ends? At the end of the day, there's going to be somebody that we cut that we try to let them clear waivers so we can go ahead and put them into the practice squad. Not everybody's going to clear waivers, so we got to be strategic here. Well, do you rather keep four tight ends or do you rather keep four running backs? Now, here is the caveat. If you keep four running backs, that means Patterson makes a team. If you keep four tight ends, that means Simmons Reyes makes a team. Who do you think is more important? Which route would you go?
Wow. Okay. So first of all, I'm for three tight ends, but if you told me in any other year, I would tell you four tight ends, and we were always light because we didn't have anybody who could block because we had Jordan Reed, Davis, and Sprinkle. And between Davis, Sprinkle, and Reed, not one of them could block.
Right.
Now we have some players that can block. Logan Thomas can block if need be. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, he's not incompetent there. Ask Kerrigan. Then you take a look at Bates, and by all means, he's a decent blocker. Then you're saying you're hearing Samus Reyes, most physical guy on the team.
Hey, he's moving some people. He's moving some people now.
Now, then you got Hemingway, who got steamrolled and is just horrible against the Patriots, and now is in concussion protocol. And now Samus is in concussion protocol. I figure that one out. I don't know how that happened. He was fine yesterday. Hey, look, if it's an ingrown toenail and our move is to put him on the IR, I'm all for that because I like what I see there too.
Right.
So you got this Caleb Wilson who's back.
Mm-hmm.
You got Hemingway who's down. So this week I want to see John Bates play a lot. He's on almost all the specials as well. He's entrenched there. I just want to see him do well.
I think we got to see more out of Bates. We got to have him come in and say, yo, I am the tight end that you guys drafted that can have some potential. And that's what we want to see. So let's go ahead and transition to the game coming up Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We know what we have in Fitz. I don't know how much we see of Fitz, but I'm loving the Fitz to Terry connection. That's something that I'm always going to look at. Okay. Now, there's going to be a lot of Kyle Allen come Friday that I'm hearing. I could be wrong. So do you think that Kyle Allen offers anything to this squad? Do you think that we keep three quarterbacks? Or do you think that, hey, they cut Kyle Allen and said, we're going to run with Steven Montez coming up the practice squad and we're only going to – so what do you see going on? You're going to see a lot of Steven Montez and Kyle Allen come Friday, okay?
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on Kyle Allen.
Okay, first of all, Fitz is fantastic. I'm happy with him as our first. Heinicke, I'm very happy. He's exactly where he needs to be. Mm-hmm. The guy that can pinch it, the guy that can come in out of the bullpen, the guy that can rally the troops and make a play. He's a gamer. Perfect backup. Mm-hmm. Okay, now who's the third? I've always liked Kyle Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen what he did after Dwayne. He played well up until he hurt his ankle.
Yep. Okay,
so if he ends up making the team, great. I think you go with three. We know we're always having injuries with the with Heinicke anyways. Exactly. We need three. Montez, Steve Montez, bless him, but he's just just like any other quarterback right now that's never played in the league. He can barely get the ball off to the backs and throw some checkdowns. He threw one pass off his back foot. Interception was over Milne's head by a mile. It was terrible. And so when he has to throw that ball downfield, look out. Now, he may have something to him, right?
Right.
So hey, he's going to be practice squad. Nobody's going right. Nobody's going to be poaching Steve Montez
at all.
So no, it's got to be Allen, and I keep three.
Let me tell you how it goes down. Steven Montez will be the quarterback three next year, and I think that Kyle Allen walks in free agency after this year. It'll just be too much money invested into that position. They're probably going to keep Heinicke. They may or may not keep Fitz based off of what we do at quarterback in terms of the draft. So a lot can happen, but a cheap option is keeping either Heinicke or Fitz with a rookie and then having Steven Montez as your third guy. He's just cheap. And one thing we know about Ron Rivera is that he loves undrafted free agent quarterbacks that he gets to put into a system and groom. So Steven Montez is just another disciple of what Ron does. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
I feel good about the QB situation right now. I feel good about it. I'm not looking to expand it right this second. But what happens when we look next year and we can have one of those QBX conversations again, because it's all going to come full circle at the end of the year. You're going to be looking at Watson. You're going to be looking at Rodgers. You're going to look at Wilson. You're going to be looking at other people that are going to be free agents. So it's going to be interesting. But until then, I feel very good about those three going into the year. I think the most likely scenario is they all three see time at some point.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, hopefully this year, I hope that Fitz is the quarterback all 17 games. Yes. The only time that Fitz is not in the game is when there's a blowout. And I would love for Fitz to go ahead and sit down and you bring in somebody else because of a blowout. Other than that, I don't want to like bring this guy in, bring that guy in. It's just too much. It's too much.
I'd love to see him make the whole way. That let's hope he is. He got slammed. Leno let a guy buy him. What was his name? That was number 7 or 8 for New England, Judon. But he ran right inside of Leno and just destroyed Fitzpatrick on a shot. So,
hey, speaking of Charles Leno was cut because of Tevin Jenkins, right? They draft Tevin Jenkins. Chicago drafts Tevin Jenkins, and they're excited. They prematurely cut Charles Leno. And guess what? Tevin Jenkins is hurt, and they're hoping that he comes back this season. And I guarantee you the Bears wish they still had Charles Leno. When I heard that, I was saying – I said a little prayer for Samuel Cosmi, because same thing can happen to us, and Morgan Moses is gone, but I still think we have some decent depth that can help us out if that was to happen. But you can never have more than enough quality tackles.
And well, Cosmi's going to have hands full again against the Bengals.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean,
he handled New England and did well. Mm-hmm. My buddy Christian there, he knows his offensive line, and he's liking what he's seeing out of Cosmi. So I always defer to him, and I'm happy to see him do well. So I think the offensive line's in pretty darn good shape.
Absolutely.
I don't look at the you start looking at all these things and you say, could we have done a better job, staffing the team? And right now everybody's healthy and we're staffing the team pretty well. And you got players like, Charles and Flowers sitting there on the bench trying to find playing time. I like that.
Right. Hey, man, shout out to T-Ho for joining the stream. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you joining us on the stream. So we talked quarterbacks. What other position are we looking at come Friday? We know that Simeon Reyes is not going to play, so we better see a whole bunch of John Bates. We better see a whole bunch of Ricky Seals-Jones. I think that Ricky Seals-Jones is the third tight end. Phil thinks the third tight end is Simeon Reyes, but we'll see what happens. I just rather have another veteran than having essentially two rookies in Logan Thomas. I don't feel comfortable. I don't like that. I'm sorry. I don't feel comfortable.
As is he that tight end that can actually block well? We saw some spots there where he pancaked a guy in the game.
I saw that.
But we're talking about consistent inline tight end play, leverage, knowing where to go. He's still learning about all that. I wanted to see him play more snaps. That was one of my right after the game. I said, God, I can't wait to see him play again.
Right.
Because he played really well. He had two plays back to back. The first one, he's trying to find a space in a zone and ends up catching a ball on the sideline. Second play right after that, he pancakes a guy in the run game. I'm like, this is great. And then all of a sudden now he's in concussion protocol. Do you have any info on that? I heard he's there. I don't know. I'm worried about that because I'd like to see him be on the field. That's the only thing I say there. The other person I'm worried about blocking, there's two people. One, I want to see Patterson. I want to see if he can play some third down back and pick up a blitz. Because McKissick cannot pick up a blitz. He's a great out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. And you want to get him out of that backfield because if he actually has to pick up somebody, he gets run over.
Hey, speaking of that same thing you're speaking of right now, Antonio Gibson struggled in that role too last year. This is year two. If Antonio Gibson wants to be on the field more, he has to improve picking up the blitz. I want to see how that transitions into the season, because if he can do that, then that means he's going to be on the field a whole lot more. We know that he's a good receiver. I love that he was able to catch the ball last game. Our running backs were catching the ball, and that's very encouraging to me that we now have running backs that you don't know if they're going to run or receive. So it just makes things better for Scott Turner when he's calling his plays.
I think what you're going to see is decreased production out of the RBs for the Redskins. We're not going to see as many out of McKissick.
Of course.
Because we're going down the field. If Mr. Fitzpatrick has not made it clear enough for us yet, he's going to throw those extra targets are going to go to Samuel. They're going to go to the slot and they're going to go to McLaurin.
Yep. So, Logan Thomas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we, even more importantly, that you have somebody be able to plug a spot and pick up a blitz because they may be asked to stay in a little longer because we're going down the field. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely would love to see Gibson grow into that because he's the biggest one of the three. And I don't know what happened with Barber. Barber looks like a mini Barber right now. You know, he lost 20 pounds when he needed to gain 20 pounds. So I'm a little concerned about our third and one back being so small. I don't understand. Right. That.
Hey, the funniest comment of the offseason was when Ron Rivera said that Peyton Barber has lost some of the baby fat. So I'm sorry. Hey, when you said about Barber, I just remember that he says, hey, he's losing the baby fat. And they're like, well, he's no longer a baby. That was just funny to me. So yeah, we've been hearing about, you know, Slim Barber, and I haven't really seen much improvement from the Slim Barber. I mean, he was able to get that goal line touchdown, but I haven't.
He looks like between Patterson and Barber, they look like the same scat bag.
Right.
They're very small. So I don't know. Is there somebody else out there on the running back world where you would look at Barber and say this is a better option?
Todd Gurley's out there. I'm just saying, y'all can say whatever y'all want to say about Todd Gurley. In the limited role, he's still a guy. If he's healthy, he's still a guy.
If he wants four snaps a game.
right. Hey, at some point you start to get hungry. You get hungry. And you said, you know what? I got to eat. You know, so we'll see. Some injuries will go down in the NFL. So there's some guys that are out there, like the Le'Veon Bells and the Todd Gurley's of the world. Some Duke Johnson is out there. So there's some running backs out there that will probably slot into teams as things progress with injuries. Preseason is still healthy. Knocking on wood. I hope that all of our prayers are protected and safe. So a lot of things can happen between now and then. Another thing that I'm looking at in this game is the corner play. I heard some I want to say some stupid rumors today. I heard that William Jackson III cannot play zone. That's just crazy to me. We didn't bring him here to play zone. We brought him here to play press man, okay? So I really want to see William Jackson III versus T. Higgins, or William Jackson III versus the stud wide receiver that the Bengals drafted. His name escapes me right now. It's Jamar Chase. So I definitely want to see him match up versus Tyler Boyd. Let's see what he can do. I mean, that's his former team, right? So you would think that
they're gonna have some fun.
You know, so that's definitely something to look at. I want to see his play next game. And there's a lot of talk about Benjamin St. Juice being moved to the outside and Will Fuller being moved to the inside. I think that's the best case scenario. I think that's something that we all want to see. Talk to me a little bit about the corner position and how you expect it to unfold.
Experience for BSJ. How fast is he coming along? Can he do that role opposite WJ3? Or is it WJ3 that just has to acquiesce right now while this kid, you know, gets a little better on the outside? I don't think you do one without the other. I don't think you go man and press with Fuller on the outside. I'd love to see him on the inside on the slot, right? So what's going to happen there? Who knows if this unit can develop that fast over preseason, or if it's something we see in game 5, 6, 7, or maybe we're all working up to that, you know, segment of the schedule that's all NFC East, and maybe that's when we're really working up to, because none of this other stuff really is going to matter to determine who's going to win the NFC East. It's going to happen in those head-to-heads.
Right. I mean, something that I would love to see is, you know, Fuller being lined up on the inside, right? And then you have a guy like McCain on the free safety spot, and they just swap. Like, offenses is like, what the heck is going on? That position flex, you have guys who can play multiple positions. You're going to see that Buffalo nickel a lot with Cam Curl. You're going
to
see
McCain up right up into the slot.
Exactly.
Somebody else rovering around. You don't know where you're going to – and when you take a look at some of the taller, some of the bigger slot people, slot receivers out there, that's where McCain may come on down, where maybe it's a little bit not as good of a match with somebody like Fuller. So right. There's all sorts of options. You know, Ron says it all the time. We've said it here. I don't know how many times the PF word, position flex. It's right. All over the place. They got so many options, not obligations. Right. So we'll just I think this is a JDR, dream here to figure out what you can do with this defense with all the different options, with the weakness still kind of in the middle. And what did we do? We brought in Jamin Davis trying to figure out what we're going to do at that level. So,
right. So, yeah. So that's definitely something I'm looking at, that whole secondary. Now, I think if the slot position is solidified, that also opens it up for Jamin Davis. That means he can do a lot more. I mean, the possibilities of this defense can be very, very special. In fantasy drafts, I'm drafting the Washington football defense in just about every league that I can, because I feel like this team, they're going to create more turnovers than ever before. They're going to create more sack fumbles. They're going to create more pressures, just getting to the quarterback. You don't necessarily have to get a sack, but when you're making these quarterbacks say one Mississippi, two Mississippi, get the ball out, that's something that, you know, we haven't really had. We've never really had an identity. It's like, okay, we have defensive players. We have guys that are athletic, this, that. We finally know who we are on defense, and I think all that helps us to have, like, a great season this year. If we can get to the quarterback and make that our identity, guess what? It helps William Jackson III. It helps Juice. It helps Kendall Fuller, who is a dog in a slot. We're talking about a guy that had 4 interceptions the last time he manned the slot for this team, and that's something else he can do this year. He was an outside last year with 4 interceptions, I believe, right? 3 or 4? And then you're talking about this year in his comfortable space, in a space where he knows he can dominate. So a lot can be said about this defense. I don't want to get too excited because, you know, sometimes
excited. I'm farther down the line. I'm thinking Moreland. Let's not forget that the people's corner here. The people's corner makes plays. He's a playmaker. These balls are going to get tipped up. Somebody's going to be catching them. Somebody's going to be running them back. Was it Moreland or was it Moreau the first week against the Eagles when we ran it back for a touchdown against against Wentz, but it was one of the two, and I can't remember because they changed numbers all the time.
Right.
20 and 26 and 31.
It might have been Landon Collins. I don't even know. I know like that number changed and it threw me off too.
Yeah.
I was like, it might have been Moreland. Yeah, probably Moreland.
But we know Moreland's got an eye, you know, an eye for the ball. He's always around it.
Right.
And there's a lot of players, obviously Chase, Montez, they're always around it.
Right.
So and then the guy in the middle that I'm really liking and that we haven't talked about, the D-line, I'm loving me some Settle. Okay.
Yeah.
Tim Settle, I wish we would sign him right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Sign him now. Put him at 5.5 per year, 5 per year. Let him be part of this team and sign him early. And then we'll have some opportunities on that D-line should we lose one. Because we're going to lose one out of the four. So that's how I kind of feel about Settle. I like what I see in him. I see him make plays all the time. And he's a tough kid. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil has to go. Appreciate you, Phil. Appreciate you coming into the chat and keeping this thing live for us. Phil made a couple of points before he left. He said that Hudson is going to play to Buffalo as well. I'm expecting great things out of Khalid Hudson. That's that other sneaky linebacker / safety / we don't really know what he is. He's a player, okay? He's going to be moved around all around. He's going to be that Viper guy, a guy that's blitzing to get the quarterback. And one thing I love about this defense is we're going to see corner blitz. Mm-hmm. We're going to see linebacker blitz. We're going to see safety blitz. And sometimes people will be all over that we don't even know what's what. Like, we're going to see Khalid Hudson in the game.
We're going to see some possibly speed coming at quarterbacks.
It's curl, going to be curl, amazing. Curl, that's another one.
Curl.
That's another one.
Hudson. I wouldn't be surprised that the slot guys coming in back.
Exactly.
It's going to be very fast.
Hey.
It's going to be scary.
Our blitz packages are going to be nasty. Sometimes you're going to deploy a Jamin Davis. Imagine Jamin Davis, Chase Young, and Montez Sweat coming at you. Where do you go? Some of these quarterbacks will have to make an executive decision. Do I just fall down into the fetus position and take the sack? Or do I try to create a play? Do I try to outrun these guys? These guys are fast. These are not the days of last year where we couldn't, you know, we struggled with the mobile quarterbacks. And that was something that I looked at last game. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see how we reacted to Cam Newton, and we did fairly well. Granted, it's still preseason. They don't show all their stuff. So I'm excited to see what we do as the season progresses from preseason to the season. Justin Herbert, week one, that's going to be a tough one right there. We're going to be playing the likes of Keenan Allen, you know, Mike Williams, Palmer, nice rookie from Tennessee. So it's going to be an amazing ride from week one to week 17. But guess what? We are here for it all. Before we close this thing out, give me something that we should look forward to in the preseason game.
I think I've pretty much said what I'd like to see versus the Bengals. I think the key is Bates. I want to see some growth from Bates. Peterson. I want to see him do well. And I want to see us not miss a kick. I want to put that to bed. Okay.
Yeah.
No injuries. We haven't said the I word.
Yeah.
No injuries.
Yeah. Yep.
And let's just let these people play it out and do a good job and move on.
And no COVID. I'm praying. No COVID. We don't want none of that mess we don't want none of that. Brandon makes a good point right here, or he asks a good question. He says, what is Dyami Brown's fantasy value? And I'm going to break this thing down in two parts. The first part, if you're doing a redraft, you can get Dyami Brown at the end of the draft. Nobody's thinking about Dyami Brown. There's going to be some drafts that you do that the likes of Jalen Waddles, the Jamar Chase, some of those guys don't even get drafted in some redraft leagues. I've seen it happen last year. Justin Jefferson wasn't drafted. Jalen Reagor wasn't drafted. And Brandon Ayuk, Claypool. So that's just what happens with a redraft league. People don't really care about these rookies. Sometimes they rather just double up on quarterback or double up on tight ends that some of these rookie wide receivers fall. So you can get your Dyami Brown at the very last pick of your draft, unless there's some Washington football fans that you might want to get it second to last. Now in Dynasty, Dyami Brown is going in the second, maybe third round of rookie Dynasty drafts. I've been able to snag him all over. Before preseason, before the first game, I'm trying to buy as many shares of Dyami Brown because, like I said, I see a little it factor in that guy. So he's a guy that you can buy low right now. People's eyes are not open yet, but pretty soon they will. And I love the way that the contracts are staggered with Curtis Samuel. Terry's going to be getting paid soon. And I'm going to be bringing back Tony on to talk money. He's the money guy. He's the contract guy. So...
Look, the guy we signed early again made another smart move was Logan Thomas.
Yep.
Listen, we signed Logan Thomas early. We got him for a decent price. We still had a year left in this contract. You look at the AAV, it's not too hateful. And the guy's going to produce for us. I'm telling you, I'm seeing leadership. I'm thinking a big C on his chest. This kid is developing into a player. An absolute player. Some athleticism that I didn't even see last year, I'm seeing now. I like what I see there. And for a fantasy value, he's got to be pretty good too.
Yeah, Big Matt. Yeah, Phil mentions Big Matt. But before then, Asan makes a great point. He goes, bruh, Chase Montez, the defensive tackles, these fast linebackers in Cole and Jamin coming at you fast. It's going to be rough for offensive coordinators. You're going to see offensive coordinators come in with ponytails and leave ball-headed like Michael Jordan. Just for the simple fact that they're going to be so stressed, you don't even know who to cover. It's like having a great basketball team where you have like a great starting five. You don't know who to double team. Like, who do you double team on that defensive line? Then when you add the secondary guys blitzing with the Vipers and the linebackers and the defensive
line. Holcomb's going to be a key. Holcomb's going to be a player for us, too.
He is going to be a player.
He's a 4-5 guy. He's a sideline to sideline, 4-5
sideline to sideline guy.
And Jamin's right there with them. So if you start watching those guys play and you got yourself a little bit of Kalik Hudson and then Curl and all those other guys.
I'm telling you, you're going to see slot wide receivers this year falling like flies. It's just imagine catching a ball and boom, Jameis knocks you out, or boom, Holcomb, knocks you out. So that's going to be pretty interesting. But Phil also mentioned, see, Phil is asleep, but he keeps waking back up because this is such a good conversation. Phil says one last thing. You know, like that movie where like the frog is dying and the frog is like, one more thing. And then the frog says something, he's dying, one more thing. So here, that's Phil. Phil just wants to say one more thing, but he says, you guys are forgetting our best pass rush defensive tackle, the Greek god, Matt Ioannidis. This guy is coming back from injury. He's refreshed. And he is not only our best interior pass rusher, this guy is one of the strongest guys on the team.
Yeah.
And he's going to come like knocking people out. He's going to come with that bull rush. And I'm excited for it. I want all the smoke. Big Matt.
That's the question when you get into that middle is you got Settle, you got Ioannidis, and you got Payne. And that's why I want to sign Settle now because Matt Ioannidis is 2 years under contract. He may end up being with a good year. He may be end up being more valuable than Payne on the open market.
Yep. Yep.
It's crazy to me that to think that we have to make a choice here.
Yep.
We really do. And Ioannidis has a little bit of the injury bug, has a little bit of injury problem, but the best interior pass rusher, Payne maybe a little better against the run. They're both phenomenal players.
Yep.
And you look and you add Settle to the mix, you like to say, okay, well, can't pay them all. Let's go ahead and take that money. And do we do it on the O-line or do we do it at QB?
Yep.
Or do we do it at QB? When you take a look at the fact that you're going to need 3 first rounders in order to move up to that, to get to the top of the draft, because there's some new guy that you want to get at the top of the draft.
Right.
We're not doing that if we're as good as we think we are, we're drafted 27, 28, 25.
Exactly. Exactly. So a lot of people are saying quarterback, but we got to move up.
You either got to move up or you got to trade for it, or you got to go pay the freight in free agency.
Yep.
All 3 of them are options. And when what kind of assets do you have to trade away? Because it's not just going to be draft picks. You start looking at Payne. You start looking at Ioannidis, because Payne and Ioannidis is under contract at least. You can trade him. Mm-hmm. But Payne really won't be after his 5th year option. So
exactly.
you got to make a choice there.
It starts to get tricky. It starts to get tricky, and I'm for bettering the team. There's a scenario where you let Payne go and you pay Settle, and you just say, hey, we're going to rock with Big Mac.
Settle and Ioannidis.
Settle and Ioannidis. Hey. And,
or you say, hey, look, I'm going to let Ioannidis go. We're going to rock with Payne and Settle.
Exactly.
You know, but you don't. But you can't. You probably can't just rock with Ioannidis and Payne with no Settle.
Right.
You see, that's too much money up there in the middle.
Exactly.
And,
so,
and that's why you got to kind of take your lumps with one of them. And I love Ioannidis. I love Payne. So it's a very difficult decision.
Absolutely, man. So, man, this has been an awesome, awesome show. Appreciate you, Tony, for coming on the show, man. Your family. Any single time you want to come on the show, man, just let me know and I'll make it happen.
We got to just bring Phil. We're gonna bring Christian in. I have a couple guys from the Redskins Hub team, kind of
absolutely
put our faces out there and do one with you and let you just pepper us.
No problem, man. Hey, I'm with it, man. We definitely got to set it up. Also, Michael Smith has been trying to come on the show, but schedules, you know. But yeah. Definitely get a team together. I can have up to five other guys. So you and four other guys, just pick the best four.
Anything you got to do to put my face is smaller on this thing would be better.
Stop that, man. Stop that. So guys, man, I have Tony, the guy who supports Troy Akpi like none other. He's practically family to Troy Akpi.
I got into it, John Kine. John Kine.
Oh, like really?
To say about him. I said, "Who's?" I sent him my video that's titled "Who Lied and Told You that Troy Akpi Could Play Special Teams," and he didn't like that too much. So, he had one great point: a lot of snaps. You got to be doing
absolutely. Absolutely. So, man, tell the people where they can find you once more.
Sure. On Facebook, my user ID is Anthony John. Okay, but I run as Redskins Hub. You may see me as the page Redskins Hub. But we have the group Redskins Hub. You can find us there. NFL Capology, Hogs Fantasy Click, NFL News Bulletin, which really gets on things right when it happens. And then we're, of course, on Instagram and Twitter as well.
All right, man. Me said that Akpi's going to be the starting CB in the next 2 years. Oh, man. Stop. You about to have Tony go off here, man. That is hilarious. That is hilarious. But hey guys, man, this is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. You guys please like, please subscribe, and please share. Also, please go to Apple or Spotify or wherever that you get your podcast and check out the Talking Sports with Manny podcast. Also, check out the Back Row Redskins Show podcast. That's where this pod is going to be available for the people that are driving to work in the morning. You guys can listen to the audio. Appreciate all the support that you guys are giving me out there. And I will catch you guys on the next episode. We are out. Peace. You guys be blessed.